Digital 410 proudly presents the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast with your hosts, Don Abernathy, Jeff Copsetta, and Henry Sledge.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, your favorite World War II-based podcast. And tonight, we're getting back to the roots. We're going all the way back to 2018 when I started this podcast. It's just me and some lovely, wonderful living historians and people with passion for the project of World War II and keeping the memory alive. Jeff is out. Henry's working on his book. You guys know the deal. But real quick, I know Henry's been gone for a while and you guys are wondering where he's at. Little inside football for you. I've been working on a video diligently for almost 2 weeks now. We sat down because we know that The Pacific and the Band of Brothers is streaming and blowing up on Netflix. We're hoping that brings a new generation of young cats who's interested in the hobby of World War II, and more importantly, the history of one Eugene Sledge. And so we thought better, why not, to do our very first YouTube reaction video on Henry Sledge reaction to HBO's The Pacific. And so as What's the Scuttlebutt listeners, you guys have heard a lot of these stories, and so we made the video to focus on hopefully new cats who are searching Google to try to find everything they can about The Pacific. And so you'll hear the stories about how the show came to be, how Henry's family provided details, and how some of it didn't make it to the show. But anyhow, if you're a fan of the HBO's miniseries The Pacific and you want to hear Henry's full-blown, unedited thoughts, critiques, and passion for the series and how they portrayed his father, you'll want to tune in. Hopefully that'll be out sometime next week. But enough of the plugs. Let's introduce our guest. Joining us, you know, it's funny, the wonderful world of Facebook. We've been Facebook friends for quite some time, but never so much as sent each other a message. He's a living historian. His wife is into the project as well, into the passion. They have a wonderful, wonderful company, I guess you would say, Victory Productions, where not only do they participate in living history, but they take fantastic photos to help keep it alive. Joining us now is Joe and Patrice Bemis. How y'all doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for being on. Real quick, you guys are North Carolina, right?
We are.
Yep.
Did that storm impact you guys at all? The one that just passed, what, a couple weeks ago?
We had a little bit of wind, but that was about it.
Only reason I ask is because I watch a YouTube channel called Cars and Cameras where these guys rebuild old trikes and dirt bikes from the 70s and 80s, and one of them lives in North Carolina on the coast, and like his whole property flooded. So I didn't know how bad it was. I figured I'd ask you guys since you were there. And being in Florida and someone who just lived through my sixth hurricane, I just want to make sure you guys came out all right.
Yep. Yeah. We're pretty far north, so that didn't really affect us much.
Great news. So I want to start in the beginning, really. Joe, give us a brief history of you, how you got into the field of World War II, and more importantly, living history, and then we'll ask the same of Patrice, and then we'll talk about the development of your photography company, and we'll go from there.
All right, right on. I went to school in Asheboro at RCC. Got my degree in commercial photography there. And right out of school, I started working at a studio in Greensboro. And while I was working at that studio, I developed Victory, I guess. It just started off as just getting a bunch of people together with artistic talents and just producing things, you know, mostly photo series and, you know, just art. And then I started getting into the pinup and started just, you know, focusing on that. And at that time, pinup was really big and I wanted a unique look. So I started making all my pinups look like Varga and Petty and, you know, like drawings.
Sure.
And then that led into discovering pinup nose art.
Yep.
And really getting into that. And at the time, my brother, Robert Bemis, he just started doing Revolutionary War reenacting. And I started going to events with him and photographing and discovered two of my main passions, history and photography. I could just combine them both. And so that's how I was introduced to the community, and through just going to event after event and taking photos and, you know, just getting to know everybody, it just kind of blossomed from there.
You know, that's interesting because most guests I have on here, it's, you know, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Usually World War II comes first, and then they figure out a way to work their photography passion into it. But it seems like for you, photography came first, and then through the travels of, as you said, the pinup and then your brother, that you found World War II through photography and looking for subject matters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And World War II has always been a passion, you know, even from a little kid growing up, you know, watching war movies with my grandfather, you know, like Eagle's Dare and,
yep,
you know, yeah, and the Eagle has landed, Force 10 Navarone, all that stuff. And it just, it's always been there. I've always had this passion for World War II. You know, it's even crazy. Like, my brother was born on September 1st, and Germany invaded Poland September 1st, 1939. And I was born on August 14th, 1978, and the war was over. I mean, that was VJ Day.
See,
and we're both 6 years apart. And all of our family's been military, and it's just always been there.
See, if your mom would have put forth the extra effort, squoze you out on the 7th, you could have been born on the D-Day of Guadalcanal, August 7th, 1942. But no, you just missed it by 7 days. Patrice, how did all this come into your life?
Well, Joe and I met years ago through some mutual friends, and we both had gone to school for photography. I went to SCAD down in Savannah, Georgia, and again, it was kind of like a family connection. My dad used to take us to the Revolutionary War site, like at Guilford in North Carolina, which was always a big reenactment. And my mom and my dad are both in the arts, and they both had a passion for photography. And I grew up with some friends that my mom worked at a newspaper in Charlotte, and they kind of turned me on to the dark room and all the photography and everything. So when Joe and I talked about our passion for photography, the history of it and kind of going back to, you know, the kind of analog sense where everything is manual and you have to just, you're shooting on raw film and you have this grain and this really cool aspect. It seemed to really lend to the reenactments because that was what these people were doing in real life. And so we were capturing those images on camera and on, and a lot of times on period correct cameras.
Nice.
So it was just easy. It was just kind of like an easy combination of the two. Now, Joe's really the history buff. I don't know a whole lot of the history, although I'm like constantly learning at all the reenactments that we go to and all the research and everything that Joe does and that I do for some of the events that, you know, I participate in. But it's really just been about capturing these images in the most unique but authentic way.
Okay, Joe, I hate to do this. I'm going to push you to the corner because we've always have dudes on the show. We very rarely have females on here to do living history. Being a female who grew up with a father who's interested in the hobby, going to those events, what was that like for you, you know, as maybe your contemporaries were doing elsewhere? I mean, it sounded like you guys were roughly my age, so they're more interested in the things that were going on when we were growing up, and here you were going to some hot field watching a bunch of guys in wool and shooting black powder rifles, pretending to be dead in the hot North Carolina sun. How was that growing up?
Well, I mean, growing up, I'm not sure I was exposed to it very much. If there was something local, then that was when we would go and kind of experience it. Because not only was it like a learning experience, but it also helped us kind of just get creative.
Sure.
I'd say now I'm just like my excitement for going and seeing how everyone portrays their own passions in the hobby is just grown tenfold. Like meeting everyone that we know through all the groups that we go and do events with. I mean, I just researching the female aspect also has just made it so incredibly enlightening, and like my curiosity is sparked. And then when I find a new, really, you know, awesome chick that's just done some really awesome stuff. I just can't help but feel like I want to connect to that in some way. So I'd say, I mean, I kind of wish I was exposed a little bit more as a child. I think that I would have probably gotten that passion like Joe did at a young age. But I'm really happy that we met and we got into this hobby and met so many awesome people, and that our, like, we're just expanding our knowledge tenfold, like, every day that we're around these people.
And it's very important for you to be part of this hobby, because I'm probably, I would assume, maybe you felt the same way when you first started learning it. Oh, okay, female role in World War II. Let me guess. I can be Rosie the Riveter or a nurse. But then you start finding out all of the different things that women contributed to the war effort and all the different topics that you could set up displays on, you can create impressions on. Were you surprised at all about, maybe not surprised so much of the amount of contribution that women made, but maybe the lack of coverage of those contributions in pop culture?
Oh, definitely. I mean, but coming from a somewhat open-minded background with my family, I mean, I think that we always knew that there was probably not as much exposure for women in history. But yes, like every day that I research another woman that's done something in a different role, I mean, it's just amazing to find all of these different stories. And like, I can just expand all of my kits, all of my, you know, impressions. I mean, we joined a British group actually, and now I get to be a dispatch rider and ride motorcycles around and do all sorts of other stuff. So, I mean, that there's really a lot out there in the World War II scene that can involve women, and it's not just, you know, some plain Jane kind of aspect. So,
well, we're going to talk more about it later on the podcast, but as I was opening the show, I was hinting about how there's hopes, at least for me, that the new revitalization of Band of Brothers in the Pacific, because when those shows aired originally, they brought a lot of interest in the community, a lot of interest in World War II, and brought along a lot of younger cats into the hobby. But maybe we'll see something similar with females when Kate Winslet's new movie comes out about Lee Miller, the movie Lee, about the, you know, the photographer during the war. And it'd be interesting to see if we notice an influx of young girls and women coming to events because maybe they saw this movie and like, oh, wow, as I was saying before, we did have more contribution than just X and Y. And it'll be interesting to see if that helps lead to an influx in female participation or just visiting living history events.
I would hope so. I mean, I would hope that anyone that was interested in the history would just come out and at least try to experience it. I actually have, my first impression was based off of Lee Miller, just because of the photography connection. You know, I'm excited to see this movie that's coming out, just to see, you know, how well they really express like everything that she did, which was just so captivating in itself. So, I mean, you really just need to look back at the roles that the women played, and I can guarantee that you're going to find something that's going to be very impressive and just kind of exciting. So I hope that more women come out.
I got to ask you too. I'm sitting in a room. I'm currently staring at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 M1 helmets. Do either one of you have a T-14?
For years, Joe's been trying to build one.
Really?
He's kind of collected some shells so that we can maybe cut them up and weld them back together. So,
for those of you playing along at home who don't know what a T-14 helmet is, think of an M1 helmet where someone lopped off the front and they kind of made it like a knight's visor, but instead of covering your face, it brings the brim up so that you can look through the viewfinder on your camera without being obstructed. And they're very rare. I'm looking on Top Pots, apparently made a run of them for a while, but I only know one person who has one, and he, too, recreated it. Now, I'm going to blow your all's mind for a second. It's going to mean absolutely nothing to anybody under the age of 28 or 35. I can load 35 millimeter in a load canister in less than 18 seconds. I wasted 8 semesters of high school taking black and white photography only to have it replaced by digital cameras. I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Yeah.
Hey, we feel your pain, man. That's a good thing. Patrice is all film and digital, so.
Because
at events I primarily do film, and Joe primarily does digital. But we also go back and forth. We share in the digital and the in the film aspect. So
my dream after high school up till probably 2003, 2004, is like, I got to get me a overhead, oh, damn, I even forgot the name of it now because it's been so long. The overhead, not projector, but
the enlarger?
Yeah, overhead enlarger, get me the fix, the stop bath, the developer, make me a dark room in my bathroom. And it's like, I think I found one at the Goodwill about 7 years ago and the thing was beat. I'm like, there's no reason to do it. And so I'd been doing IT work for 20 years. And for the last 18, I had about 6 or 7 veterinarian clinics and they're all moving to digital x-ray machines. But every once in a while, I'd walk into the old one and